you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
All right, you can open your Bibles. I hate it when I do that. Again, over to Psalm 91. Someday I'll actually drill a hole in this thing and put a bolt in it. I mean, I've been saying that for, it hasn't been 5 years yet, 6 years, I don't know, that I've been saying that. So it's going to happen. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I just been telling Karen I'd make another batch of red chili for us, and I got it done. I didn't need to be nagged. It was 3 or 4 years, and I got it done. So, and she didn't nag, by the way. So, we've been talking about how God has revealed himself in his word, and he's done that many ways. Obviously, the main way is through Jesus. He is the exact image of the Father, and he is the word, the living word of God. But throughout the Old Testament in particular, God gave us these redemptive names. And we've been looking at, we're not looking at every one of them in this series. I think next week we'll be moving into looking at some of the things, some of the titles that Jesus carried. But at any rate, last week we began, and then this week we're going to pick up on the subject of God as our fortress, our refuge, our shelter, our place of safety, our place of protection. And there's not one specific redemptive name that goes with that. This is kind of a broader subject, but it is something that is said from beginning to end in the scripture. God presents himself. I mean, I think, you know, when I was a kid many years, when I was a little kid, many, many years before I met Jesus, my mom used to come in and have me pray. You know, this little prayer, now I lay me down to sleep, right? And the heart of that is God will protect me. And if, you know, if something happens and I die before I wake, you know, then the Lord will collect me, right? I mean, even in that, there's this idea of God's care and God's protection for us. And we see it in so many ways throughout the scripture. But Psalm 91 specifically lays out for us issue after issue after issue, specific promises about God, what God will do in keeping us and protecting us. And I just wanted to go back and say also that, you know, as we look at this, and we'll go ahead and read that psalm again this morning, I guess, but we're just mainly focusing on the first two verses because the entire, all of the promises are connected to, hinged upon what it says in the first two verses. So that's what we're really digging into. But I wanted to say that all of the promises of God, the Bible tells us they are ours. They are yes and amen in Christ for us. So they belong to us. But in every case, all of the promises are given by grace. We cannot earn them. We cannot merit them. They are given. They are a gift. They come through God's grace. But we do, to receive anything from the Lord, we have to approach his grace with our faith. Our faith connects to God's grace. Romans 5:2 tells us that specifically. It is by faith that we access the grace of God. And so what that means is, as we look at all these wonderful promises, what we need to realize is for these to be activated in my life, for me to live under these promises, I need to, first of all, apply myself to the scripture, allow that scripture to go deep down in my heart and produce faith toward the Lord in this specific area. And then I need to begin to apply those scriptures to my life. This is true of any topic we would talk about, any promise from God that we would talk about. This is true. There is something for us to do. We just have to remember we're not earning anything. We can't earn anything. Never approach it with that kind of mentality. We are just accessing something that has been given to us. Okay, but how do we apply those scriptures or any scriptures to our life? We begin to We connect with them. We meditate on them. We pray over them. We absorb them. We ingest the word of God and let it grow in us. And then we begin to pray it. We begin to declare it. We begin to pray those prayers of God's protection before we go out into the world or out on the highway or whatever it is. We start to say it. We start to put it out there. Okay? Does that make sense to you? And we start to act like we believe it. Not putting on a show. I'm not talking about faking it. I'm saying when we believe something, it changes the way we act. It changes what we do. Changes what we're willing to do. Knowing you have God's protection keeps you out of a lot of fear, keeps you out of a lot of worry. We don't spend so many nights. None of us are perfected in these things. We don't spend a bunch of nights awake all the time. If we are in that place, we turn to verses like these that we're about to read, and we say, you know what? I'm not going to stay awake all night on this. I have God in my life. So we start to live differently. We start to speak differently. Okay? So we'll get to Psalm 91 in just a minute. We'll just go ahead and I'll read this for you again. And I'm going to read it from the NIV today. Most of what we're going to look at on screen is going to be from the Amplified. But Psalm 91, it says, begins, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample on the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Him. I will protect Him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer Him, and I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him, and with long life I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation." Those are just tremendous promises. And I put just a few up on your screen that in this psalm, we have God's commitment to protect us from hidden or disguised traps. That's the snare of the fowler, right? I mean, somebody has put these traps up to catch birds is what that is. And the idea of it is there are things in life that we can run into that are hidden or they are disguised. They look like something good, right? I mean, we bait traps a lot. There's a reason for that. And so hidden or disguised traps from the enemy. The Lord has promised to protect us in those areas. Sudden destructive plagues or diseases. And that means just that. Sudden plagues or diseases that come upon the earth. We can go through those. We're not saying they don't exist. They certainly do exist. That's where it says, and we spoke this during COVID continually. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 may fall at my right hand. It will not come near me. And I will, where it said, I will be an observer. It means we will be witnesses to what's going on. We will be spectators. So it's not us that's happening to, but we will, the idea in the Hebrew there is we will also be helpers in those situations. We can carry something into that situation to help other people. We're not just standing by watching a car wreck, okay? We may see a car wreck, we're not involved, we're there to help, we're there to pray, we're there to release these truths that we know. Does that make sense to you? Okay? It talks about the arrows that fly by day and by night. It's the thoughts and threats and lies that come by night or day designed to get us to submit to them, to agree with something where the devil is throwing a lying thought to us. And if we begin to partner with that thought, then it'll become a reality in our life. But the Lord is there. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler, it says. The word of God and God's commitment to his own word, his faithfulness, those things defend us. They cover us. They protect us. All right. And this psalm talks about a wide variety of dangers, accidents, disasters, natural or man-made disasters, unforeseen, dangerous situations. All of these different things are found. And then it goes on, it says, hey, you have authority over the devil. You will trample on the lion. You will trample on the adder. We rise up, okay, not only into these things for ourselves, but we rise up in the authority and the calling and the blessing that we have in Christ to defend other people. Especially to defend people who don't know this, or maybe teach them how to meditate these verses and get them working in their life, okay? And so it goes on and on. And I just want to tell you a quick story on this. When we were at Believer Center still in Albuquerque, there was a young woman there that went to UNM, and Marshall had been, our pastor had been teaching on Psalm 91. He did a whole series on each of these things that we're breezing through this morning. And so the church was involved in that. We were all ingesting that. She went out through the parking lot one night, and she was attacked in the parking lot. And all she could remember, she couldn't remember what to say. The only words that came to her mind was, it was feathers. And so she just, as she was being attacked, she started saying, feathers, feathers, feathers. And that was all she had. But she was calling out on the Lord. And the guy who was attacking her stopped, possibly just thought she was crazy, but stopped and looked up behind her. And I believe there was an angel there for him to see. Looked up behind her and looked scared and ran off. And all she knew was feathers, okay? So it's not like we have to have it all. It's not like we have to be perfect, but we do need to. She had the heart. She had God's my protector and faith toward him for it. And she let something out, and it was just feathers. That was her deal. But she got that protection in that bad situation, okay? So we started last week on these first two verses. All right, and we have quite a few new people here today. Well, let me just go through this again. I'm going to read this from the Amplified, Psalm 91, 1 and 2. Again, all of those promises are contingent upon this lifestyle. Okay, this is how we embrace them. Again, not earn, but embrace. So it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. So we went into detail about this last week. I'm just here to remind you today, it says, this is for he who dwells in the secret place. And that secret place in the Hebrew it's a shelter or a fortress that is remote and it is unknown and inaccessible to the enemy. Okay? And it speaks of the secret place is that intimate place with God. It is that place where we withdraw from the world and we take time to spend time in the presence of the Lord. And we build habits into our life so that we don't let, sometimes you have to make real changes in your household in order to have that kind of time, but it's a choice that you have to make. And we don't let all of our own thoughts and pressures and garbage, you know, come into that time. We set that time aside to him and to his word. It's a place to soak. It is, I think I said last week, it's like the hot tub of God's love. You know, it is a place to get in and just soak in his presence. We carry something out of that place. But that's what it means to dwell in the secret place. That term dwell means we're not just a visitor, even though it's not that we spend all of our time there. The Lord knows we have jobs and, you know, things that we need to do. But this is it's a central, it's an important, it's a life-changing place that we go on a regular basis. That word actually means to abide in, make a home in, to remain in habitually, not wander far from, return to, just like we do. Think of your home, you know. You got all your stuff there, most of us. I mean, maybe you have a storage unit, but anyway, you get what I'm saying. We got our stuff there. We make it comfortable. It's our place. That's what home, that's the difference between a house and a home, right? This is a place where we make our home in the presence of God. And it says, for that person, they will remain stable and fixed, right? Under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay, so let's dig into this a little bit. We're going back to verse 1, and we'll get into some new things here today. So again, verse 1, I want you to see this. Again, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Okay, now we've been talking about the names of God. And we see the Most High. Okay, in the Hebrew, the name of God that is put here is El Elyon. And that's what it means. It means the one who has the greatest authority, the highest. Okay? So this person is dwelling in the secret place, in that intimate place with the Most High, with that aspect of God's nature. So we're going in there and we have this mindset, Lord, I am here because you are in authority. You are the Most High. You are the one who deserves all of my worship. My life belongs to you. I belong to you. I am yours. And this issue of authority is huge. I'm here and I am recognizing, Father, I'm asking you to speak to me today. And what you say, I will begin to apply to my life. I will adjust myself to what you say, not come in here expecting you to adjust yourself to what I think. Okay? That is a huge point right there as far as receiving all this, because we get wisdom in this place, we get instruction in this place, all right? We bring everything we have. It's like, okay, I bring my family in here. We are under your authority. This is who we are. This is where we live. We're under your authority. And his authority, to a big degree, is expressed through his word, right? So if we begin to see something, I get an instruction from his word, or the Holy Spirit imparts something to my heart, okay? My mindset is, you're the highest. It's not me. I'm not in charge of my own life. So it may take me a while to learn from you how to make this change in my life, but I will adjust my life, my thoughts, my conversation, my behaviors, my friendships, could be anything. I will adjust that to what you say because you are Lord. Okay. We had this conversation the other day about a situation with somebody where it's very clear. I'm not being critical. This is just a fact. They would say it themselves. This is a person who their confession is, I believe in God, okay? But I like my freedom, okay? I've been there, all right? I like my freedom. In other words, I want to do what I want, but I believe in God. And we, out of that, you know, we're just talking again. I mean, I've seen this takes many shapes and forms. But the truth is, believing in God is one thing. Making Jesus the Lord of your life is an entirely different thing. Okay, you need one, but the Bible tells us that even the demons believe in God and tremble. Okay, so it's a kind of a low bar, okay, you know, to believe in God. I mean, it's a great starting point because a lot of people are convincing themselves that there is no God. And I don't know how you can even look outdoors and think that. But anyway, I get it. There are a lot of people there, so that's a great first step. But just believing in God is one thing. Making him Lord is an ongoing submission of the heart and life. Okay, and the fruit of that is tremendous blessing. The fruit of that is we start living according to his word, and there's blessing on the word already. Okay, there's just blessing already. So we, you know, our passions, our pursuits, everything we have, we want to bring that in to this secret place of El Elyon. You are the highest. Okay, so there's tremendous protection and safety in a life that's lived in submission to God and his word. And don't hear me saying life's going to get perfect. You get this right, you'll never have another problem. No, we are on planet Earth. We are not in heaven yet, in case you're wondering. And so, no, we're going to confront things, but there's so much, and I don't mean to play games with this or anything, but I know in my life, when I get to see the videos, if I get to see the videos, it's like there's so much stuff I missed that I didn't have to experience simply by walking with Jesus. We experience plenty walking with Jesus, okay? But there's so much stuff that just didn't happen, or I was a ways behind and I wasn't there when the accident happened, or whatever it was. There's so much safety and protection in bringing your life under him. The most dangerous things I've ever experienced, the places where I came the closest to losing my life, or it's a wonder I didn't, or just ruining my life, okay? Those were all things I was doing not walking with Jesus. I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. I was in places I shouldn't have been. I was with people I shouldn't have been. And over time, the Lord, you know, walks you out of that if you allow him to do it. And now, I mean, my life's a lot safer, you know, because I'm not out there carousing around in the middle of the night, driving drunk and doing all this stupid stuff. Some of the stuff I did, I think back on, it's like, who were you? I mean, I just can't even relate anymore. But that's who you were, you know? That's who I were, but that is not who I am today, okay? So we get all that instruction. We bring all, and it says that out of that, that person will remain stable and fixed. Stable and fixed. Here's what those terms mean. Stable, in this case, means very difficult to move from its position. Do you want to get away, you know, a wandering life, a wavering life where your faith is concerned? That's a dangerous life, and it's a really unhappy life most of the time. We want to be stable and fixed in what the Lord is doing and saying and who he is and the plan that he has for us. He has a great purpose for every single one of you, every single one. And we walk that out by staying close to him, by spending time with him. You know, that's why they call us Jesus followers. You got to go to Bible school to learn this kind of stuff, but it's because we're supposed to be following Jesus, okay? Just take that home, you know, think about it. So, you know, even when life doesn't play fair, life doesn't work out the way you thought, stuff happens, you know, you can be stable and fixed, not wavering. You can stay on your beliefs. You can stay on what you know to be true of the Lord, and you can walk through these things. So stable means very difficult. It allows us, this stability allows us to resist outward forces that come to get us to compromise our walk with God. Okay, it also means that it's something that maintains its balance. Okay, so we can continue to live a balanced life when we spend time under the shelter and in the secret place of El Elyon. We can become more and more and more stable. And I already said this to you, but that was something, as I was meditating on these things the other day, the Lord just spoke that to me and just said, a wavering life is a difficult life. And it's usually filled with insecurity and you're just not sure. It's a lot of times why we're wavering. Just not sure. We need to be anchored to him. The Bible tells us he is an anchor for our hope. Jesus is an anchor for us. The Bible tells us that God gives strength to his people. Okay? So this is where we receive this. All right? You get that? Okay, next one. So it says, he who dwells in the secret place of El Elyon, all right, the Most High, shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of, and this is a different Hebrew word, the Almighty. Okay, this is one we've already looked at. This is the term El Shaddai. He remains stable and fixed under the shadow. When you're in something's shadow, you're real close to it, right? And so you remain stable and fixed under the shadow of El Shaddai. We looked at that several weeks ago. El Shaddai was a name of God that spoke of that aspect of his character, that is, he is a nurturer. It actually speaks, some of the translations will say, the great breasty one. It's like a wet nurse. It's like a mother nursing her child. There's nutrition happening. There's connection happening. There's bonding happening. It's that aspect. That's who El Shaddai is. And this term is used in a number of places through the Old Testament. But it says if we dwell in that secret place of the Almighty, we bring ourselves under his authority, then we'll be stable and fixed in that nourishing, connected place with the Lord. Does that make sense to you? This is what these verses are telling us when we break it down. And actually, this word abide, he who dwells shall abide, or he who dwells shall remain, he who dwells shall abide. That's a good thing to remember. When I dwell, I'll be able to remain and abide. This term abide here has just a little bit different connotation. It describes, let me just read this to you from my notes. This abiding, this remaining, is the result of a heart and mind that are assured of God's surrounding presence and personal care. Okay, this sense of abiding, this sense of remaining, the result of a heart and mind that are assured of God's surrounding presence and personal care. It makes us free from worry and agitating passions, and it is characterized by a strong sense of safety and security. In other words, fear has to leave, right? Things that intimidate us, the things that try to lead us off the other direction, the things that try to get us working on our own to keep ourselves, keep our lives working, keep ourselves safe, those things have to go, okay? Because when we dwell under his authority, then we're able to abide in his nourishing, nurturing, connected place and presence. Does that make sense to you? Okay? Okay. Yeah, let's go on, because I really want to get to this, and we're getting low on time this morning. So the next verse, verse 2, okay, so we got all that. I hope you got that picture. We've chosen to spend time in God's presence, bring our lives under his authority repeatedly. This isn't something we do once. This is a life, okay? This is a lifestyle. This is who we are, okay? Now we're becoming stable and fixed. We're learning to be able to remain. We're carrying out of that place this sense of his surrounding presence and protection. Going into all kinds of situations, and we're no longer in fear about it, intimidated about it, no matter which way it goes. We're carrying this sense with us. Well, in verse 2, first words, I will say. Okay? So, when we have all that working on our life, our conversation starts to change. Our words begin to line up. Instead of watching the news for 5 hours and then just, you know, everything that comes out of me is about what's going on in the world and this bad thing and that bad thing and that disaster and that war and this problem and this. Instead of that being my conversation, my conversation naturally becomes, God is my shelter. God is my refuge. Man, I have a place to go. Yeah, there's a lot of lousy stuff going on in the world. There's a lot of horrible things going on around me. And I personally know people that are walking through really hard stuff. But you know what? I'm remaining fixed. I'm confident. I'm beginning to release what I picked up in that secret place. And one of the places that begins to happen is with our words. But here's the interesting thing. Are you still with me? I will say this word, say, the Hebrew word that we've translated say, means what we communicate to the world around us through actions as well as words. So it's not just words. It's not just us coming out and saying Christian stuff, okay? We are changing. We live differently. We walk differently. We communicate differently because we have absorbed who he is. And so we're not, when we face stuff, and we all do, right? Or we're walking with somebody else and they're facing stuff, our conversation is different and the way we walk into it is different. We walk into things a lot of times like, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't actually have any idea how this is going to work out, but I know who he is. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend time. I'm going to listen. I'm going to go back to that dwelling in the secret place. I'm going to listen and I'm going to walk. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep following Jesus. I'm going to keep walking out what I do know, even though I don't understand this. I didn't foresee this. I didn't know this was coming. I thought my life was going to go a whole different direction. And all of a sudden this happened. And now my life is different. God has a place for me on the other side of this. And I can walk into it and through it with confidence, or I can walk into it and through it with confidence with somebody else, okay? My conversation, words and actions, begin to flow out of who I know him to be deep in my heart, okay? And this, again, is true of anything, but this psalm just brings it out really clearly. Faith changes what we say. Faith changes how we live. Faith changes how we feel approaching things. That whole thing in our society right now, that your feelings are who you are, and that to be genuine, to be honest, means I have to line up with my feelings. Number one, that's a lie, okay? And number two, it's a really bad idea. And we all know that a lot of times we feel things that aren't true. We've all got to be able to admit that. We feel things that aren't true. We want to line up with truth. We do not. Our feelings are wonderful. They're there for a reason. Our emotions are there for a reason. But they aren't there to be the great guide and supervisor of our life. And for you to be a genuine person means you are living from who you really are on the inside, who God says that you are, who the Word says that you are. Okay? And I don't believe we have to fake any of this stuff. We have to grow into it, but we don't have to fake it. I don't think God wants us out there, you know, pretending to be perfect and putting on the religious face all the time. I mean, how do you like that? I'm trying to be nice. I don't like those encounters with religious Christians that are just putting on the fake face, okay? And it's just fake. They're totally different at home than they are in public, or totally different in church than they are at work or something. No, we want to be genuine, but genuine doesn't mean just going by what we feel, okay? So I may feel some fear, some anxiety, but you know what? I'm not going to let that lead me. I'm not going to plan to stay there. I'm not going to let that make the decisions about what I do today and tomorrow and how I handle this situation. I want to hear from God. I want to know what his word says. I want to go back when I need to. He is so faithful to impart. I do this all the time. I go back and I say, Lord, I need to hear that again from you. Because when I hear it from him, it carries the power to enable me to do it. Okay? So I go back all the time. Lord, speak that to me again. Lord, I need some encouragement, or I just need you to speak that word to me again, or give me a different one, you know, whatever. But I need to hear it from you. And then you get built up, and then you keep walking. Okay? Is this making sense to you? Okay? So genuine faith will always show up in your conversation and your behavior. Real faith can be seen and heard. You know? And so, well, I guess I'm not in a place of real faith about that. Where do we get faith? God gives faith. He's not going, okay, kid, work up the faith. Work it up. Come on, move it. Work it up. He's not doing that. He gives it. It comes from his word. It says that we receive faith as we hear God's word, as we hear it on the inside, as we dig into it, as we spend time in his presence, faith grows. It's a product that he gives to us, and we turn around and access his grace with us. Okay? So, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Okay? We can tell, and people can tell. I can tell about myself. Right? What's in my heart in abundance? Because it comes out my mouth. Eventually. Sometimes we can shut our mouth for a while. Some of us are better at that than others. But eventually. Okay? So, when you're challenged with something, just got a little bit more here. When you're challenged with something, just listen to yourself. What comes up in your thoughts? What comes out of your mouth? Do you say, God is my provider? I shall not want. You know, do Psalm 91 and Psalm 23 start coming out of your mouth? Or, you know, I've got a financial challenge, or do you watch the financial challenge or the financial channel all day and then talk about how bad the economy is? You know, what is in your heart in abundance? It's going to change what you experience in life. I'm not trying to be critical or anything else. This is just the truth. I am telling you the truth. Okay? So I will say he is my refuge. All right, that is a place of shelter and safety, particularly in a storm. That's what that word means. So what's coming out of my life when I spend that time with him is, I will say of him and I will act like he is my shelter. Storm coming. Okay, a refuge from a storm, that's the place you go when there's an outward threat, when you see a storm coming. I grew up in tornado country. Some of the rest of you did. People had tornado shelters. You went there. Actually, my brother and I used to stand by the garage and watch them because it was pretty cool. But still, you know, smart people went there. Or you went to your basement, got on that side, whatever you do. When a doctor's report comes, do you just take it? This is it. This is how it's going to be. Or do you recognize the doctor is a human? He's doing the best he can, but he's not thinking about what God, my healer, can do. We have a friend right now that's facing some serious health stuff. And the first thing she did, number one, she didn't tell everybody, and she's not telling everybody because too many people just run off and talk about how sick she is. She doesn't want that out there, okay? So she talked to certain people that she knows will actually pray according to the word and will agree with her according to who God is and according to what the word says, okay? And then she made a prayer list and gave it to people, those people, based on the scripture, based on who God is and what he has said, okay? And that's, you know, so, I mean, that's where she went, okay? So, it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress. Get this last one and we'll be done today. He is my fortress. That is, I love this, that is a remote stronghold used not only for protection, but for gathering weapons in preparation for battle. I will say he is my fortress. It is a remote stronghold. I don't only get protected there. It's in that place with God that he strengthens me for whatever battle I'm going to face. He equips me. Okay? He is my fortress. That's what we want to be coming up out of us. Does this make sense to you? Okay, when we build that over time, but we set our hearts this way, we build that, life's going to go better. And you're going to miss a whole lot of destruction and problems. And you're going to be able to help people that are experiencing destruction and problems and diseases and plagues. Because this is what God has built on the inside of you as you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. Okay? Does that make sense to you? I hope you got something out of that. Let's stand up and pray this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love all of this, every aspect of this, of who you are. God, you are so multifaceted. There is so much to you. And there is so much, Lord, even as we learn and we dig into each of these little aspects, Father, God, I just pray that every one of us would receive a heart revelation of this so that we could begin to be those people, Lord, who live as if this were true, who speak as if this were true because it is. But Lord, I ask today that you would continue to build these truths into us, build this strength into us, Father, so that we can be those who are not just standby spectators, but helpers at the scene of tragedy, the various scenes of tragedy. We go there, Lord, equipped to help, equipped to bring you on the scene. And we thank you for that. What a privilege to get to partner with you in ministering to people in this earth. And it's for every believer, it is for every one of us. So, Father, as this church goes out this week, Lord, and next week and beyond, Father, we go out believing we are lights in dark places. We break darkness where we go. Lord, your presence goes with us where we go. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. If any of you need prayer for anything, come on up afterwards. I'd love to pray for you. And otherwise, there's always a lot of snacks and goodies out there for you to hang out and fellowship. All right. And we always do it this way. We say on the count of three that Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. So let's do it. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Go out there and be the church.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.